99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
Hello, welcome back. John Potter, live and local. This segment, Patty Wood is here. Hey, Patty.
Hi, good morning.
You found us.
I did.
You found us. You know what? Patty has not been to the Carson City studios before. I always tell people we're by Lowe's. That's all you have to say. We're like across from Lowe's. And I have a question because I'm a frequent Lowe's shopper and I'm a frequent Walmart shopper. When will the self-checkout W-2s be sent out this year? Does anybody know? Because I may quit that self-checkout thing at Walmart if I don't get my W-2 for doing that. Plus, there's no vacation time, you know. So, I'm not doing too well.
Very good. Very good.
So, your topic is a very, very interesting one. So interesting. We had you come by the house, and the cats like you, so you pass the test.
Oh, good.
Of a person that I would do business with. If the cats hiss at you,
no,
we're not going to do it. Patty is with American Pacific Mortgage, dispelling all the smack that people say about reverse mortgages and each and every one reason that people have for not looking at reverse mortgages are easily dispelled. So let's get to it. And this was probably one of my big top three surprises here is, by the way, how's business?
It's good. It's good.
I would imagine. I would imagine.
The reverse mortgage has got some great, we help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so right now, with the interest rate being higher, the good thing is when you have a reverse mortgage, remember, you never make a monthly mortgage payment. So instead, if you have a line of credit with the interest rates being higher, your growth line is higher. So you earn more money on the reverse mortgage right now that will be considerably helpful in the future.
Income, folks. All right, let's get to this. Is a reverse mortgage considered taxable income?
No. Reverse mortgage payments, they're not taxable. Reverse mortgage payments are considered loan proceeds and not income. It's equity that you're pulling out of your house. So the lender pays you, the borrower, loan proceeds, and you can get it either in a lump sum, or you can get monthly payments, or you can get a line of credit, or you can get a combination of all three. So as long as you live in your home and it's your primary residence, there is no taxable income.
Speaking of taxes, how about the interest on what is called the HECM, which stands for what?
Home Equity Conversion Mortgage.
Is that like the new term for reverse mortgages?
No, that's been around forever. It's okay. It's a FHA product.
That's the FHA version.
The FHA version is the HECM, correct.
Okay.
And any interest that accrues on a reverse mortgage, because you're not paying any mortgage payment, the interest is considered interest on the equity debt, which isn't actually deductible because you're not making payments. So there's no interest that's being paid. So therefore, there's no deductions.
Again, folks, the reverse mortgage payments are not taxable. What about do you pay capital gains tax on your reverse mortgage when tax time comes?
No. No. If your home appreciates more than $250,000, if you're a single person, you can take your one-time exempt. And if you're a married couple, then you can take a $500 exempt for any capital gains. If you sell your home or when you pass away, your family members, when they sell your home and pay off the reverse mortgage, of course, there's any, upgraded write-offs, they get to do that. But for the most part, I would say consult a tax attorney or your accountant to see exactly how this works.
By the way, yeah, phones are ringing. Folks, if you have a question about is a reverse mortgage or the HECM loans that provide income to you, if you have any questions about that, 884-9910. We have an expert here. Can I sell my home if I have a reverse mortgage?
Yes. You can sell your home at any time. If you decide to sell your home with a reverse mortgage, you're going to have to pay that back plus any interest that has accrued and compounded and your fees and that. But you're going to have a monthly statement every month that'll show your balance. Any equity that you have in the home, you can always take that equity if you decide you need to get into a smaller home, or if you lose a spouse, or if you lose your income or whatever, and you need to get into a smaller home because it's too big to maintain, then you can go ahead and sell it, and we won't jump over to the reverse purchase. But if you have enough equity, you can take your cash and go do a reverse purchase with the funds that you have into a smaller home.
This impression people have that the bank gets the deed. Do you lose ownership with a reverse mortgage?
No, absolutely not. You know, maybe 45 years ago, it used to be that way. But nowadays, if your home, especially if your home is in a trust, your home remains in a trust. If your home is in your name, the home remains in your name. It's just like any other lien that you're going to have against the property, but the lender never goes on title. They just have a lien against the property.
All right, let's go to the phones, 884-9910. I'm John Potter with Patty Wood, American Pacific Mortgage. Questions about this reverse mortgage or the HECM offered by the FHA? Let's go to John in Reno. Hi, John.
Hi, yeah, I just had a quick question. If I had a sub 3% mortgage, what type of rate in it, you know, is it variable on the HECM, or how does that work as far as the percentage rate on the reverse mortgage?
Well, we have fixed rates and we have adjustable rates. Right now, the...
You have a choice?
Yes, you have a choice. However, depending on how much equity you have in the property and depending on what you want to do with it, if you have enough to get one lump sum because you need the money for paying off somebody, or you have some large bills you want to pay off or whatever, and you want to take one lump sum, that's a smaller amount, but you can do that. Right now, interest rates are about 7.94% on the fixed. And then if you take an adjustable rate, the adjustable rate gives you a line of credit, or like I said, you can get monthly payments or this or that. And you start out with a margin, and it's the margin plus the constant maturity treasure rate, and that gives you your starting rate, and that can go up with a cap on it. It's got a cap 5% over starting, and then it can go all the way down to the lowest it could ever go would be 2.5% if there wasn't a CMT, or the highest it could go would be the 7.94 plus the 5% over, and that's what the rates would be.
What do you think, John? Anything else?
Okay, yeah. No, that clears it up. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Patty. Who can live with you and not you? Who can live with me? Well, my wife wouldn't go with that. Who can live with a person in their house when they have a reverse mortgage?
That's a good question. Actually, yes, your spouse can live with you. And then, or if you have a partner, if you have owned your house and you fell in love and somebody moves in with you, you can have that partner live with you. If you're a single person and you want to rent a room, you can do that. You can have a family member come live with you. You can have in-home health care come live with you. As long as this is your primary residence and you still live in the home, having a reverse mortgage does not change who can live with you.
This is pretty amazing. I mean, okay, so you get the reverse mortgage payments every month, but if, like you say, you're a single person and you rent out part of your house to that single person, well, that's income again right there that you can spend. And I got to remind folks, and you look at the big picture of these things, I'm at the age... Okay, I'm 69 years old, and I'm just beginning to realize that I can't take my house to heaven or hell, as Craig thinks I'm going. You can't take the house there. So this is a way to utilize and make the most of what you put your life savings into, and it gives you an opportunity to spend off that house and enjoy life when you can enjoy it.
Yeah. We did have a couple texts come in from the same individual First question was, how much are the fees for the loan? And then can you give us a fee breakdown? Or is that?
Well, you know, again, it's going to depend on the appraised value of your home, your age, and whatever the interest rate is. So I would have to, if he would like to send me some information or call me, you can call me at my 775-954-0366, and I'd be happy to run numbers for you. It doesn't cost you anything for me to run the numbers, and I can give you an exact breakdown. I will tell you the most... probably the most expensive thing on the closing cost is the FHA upfront mortgage insurance. That's 2% of the appraised value. So that, you know, sometimes if you think of it, though, and if you're doing this, that's going to last you for the next 20, 30 years, however old you are, you have to be 62 to get this. Just so everybody knows, you must be 62 or older. If you have a spouse, only one person has to be 62. But it depends. This loan is based on your age, appraised value, and the interest rate. So I like to customize, you know, each person with their different fees, but 2% of the appraised value is the most expensive thing, and that's for the FHA insurance.
Let's go back to the phones, 884-9910. It's Lynn calling from Minden. Lynn, I'm happy you called. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm happy for this topic. I think a lot of people just don't even recognize that the product is out there. I have a question for Patty.
Sure.
What is the maximum loan to value once you pay off your current debt? And just have a heckum with Patty, what is the maximum LTV, best case scenario?
Well, again, it's based on your age. So
yes,
the younger you are, let's say you're 62 years old and you want to do this, you have to have approximately 68% equity in your property. So that's like the starting point. And then, you know, of course, if you're 75, then you would need approximately 58% equity in your property. So it all depends on your age.
Okay, so anybody who is retired or over 62, it's a sliding scale based on their equity and their age.
Correct.
Up to 70 years old.
Correct.
And are you a certified HECM counselor?
No, I am not a counselor. I am a loan originator, and HECM, HUD and FHA require independent counseling. It's a third party that does the counseling. I have a whole list of them that I share with people, and they just call. And what I do is I go to your home and I educate you on the reverse mortgage, and I do fees exactly like I said. I customize it exactly for your needs, seeing how you want it. Do you want it in a line of credit? Do you need one lump sum? Do you want payments? However you want it, then I prepare this for you. And once you fully understand it, then you would call and have the counselors.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So thank you very much. And I appreciate your answers. Is your fee a point, a half a point? What do you charge for your mortgage origination service on top of the cost?
Well, it's built into the loan. All the fees are built into the loan. And for the HECM, it's 2% of the first $200,000 and then 1% after that with a maximum of $6,000.
Okay.
Great. So thanks for the answers, Patty.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Lynn. So when you look at the loan totals and everything, there's no extra fee entry there. It's just, as you say, built into that cost right there.
Correct.
Fascinating. Really is. How did you first get into this business?
Huh. Good question. Well, I started in the mortgage business in 2004, and then I moved here to Carson City in 2005. And it was, you know, as we all know, by 2006, the market started getting tougher and tougher. And I had the opportunity to learn about reverse mortgages. And I tell you what, I love reverse mortgages. When I started helping people and seeing the impact that it was having on helping so many people, I became very passionate. I fell in love with it. And, you know, people ask me, what's the negative side? And for me,
I know I feel that
I don't
way
have
too.
A negative side.
What's
because
the catch? Yeah.
There is no catch.
We have to overcome this impression people have from the old days. That's the thing.
Right.
And take, let me just say, take a second look, folks, at this, and it could help you out.
Well, and even if you're just thinking about it and you're not, you know, gung-ho all the way yet, let me present it to you. And then you can make up your mind. I love what I do. If I can help you out, great. If you don't think it's going to work for you, that's fine too. At least I got to meet a lovely person. That's how I look at it.
All right. Well said. Patty Wood works with American Pacific Mortgage, lives in Carson City. We'll come to your home. Came to our home in Reno. What's your contact number again, Patty?
My number is 775-954-0366.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on invitation here on the show.
Absolutely.
So we can help some folks out there.
Great.
All right. What you doing today?
Oh, boy.
Greenhouse garden, right?
Greenhouse garden. Right. Yes.
Having our customer open house today. So.
Yes. And they always, their gift shop is amazing. Yeah. If you have a unique person and
it's
you want something.
Knick-knack heaven.
Yes. And it's great prices.
Have you seen the gift shop at the new Cracker Barrel?
No, but I've been to several Cracker Barrels. And
really?
Yes,
oh,
I
Craig,
love them.
Have you been to Cracker Barrel yet?
I have not yet. That's on the plans for probably tomorrow.
Nice fireplace in there, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get there early. Because it being Sunday, everybody going out for Sunday breakfast or lunch after church. So
yes. Hey, yeah, we can talk restaurant talk, 884-9910. Patty Wood, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
This reverse mortgage talk makes me hungry. I don't know. I guess I'm odd. 884-9910. We'll also get back into this Reno Reddit thing about the pros and cons of Reno. And, of course, Reddit being Reddit, it's focused on the negative. And so we're dispelling a lot of what people write there. But Carson City has a post. And since we're in Carson City doing the show today, we'll get into that. We'll take we had a bunch of calls at 9. We'll take some more right now at 884-9910. I'm John Potter. Back in a few minutes at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time 1023.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
I am so bummed because Patty, you know, she was going to stop by Schatz Bakery here in Carson City and bring us treats, Craig. But they don't open till 11 o'clock.
No! No!
Yes.
Wow.
It figures. That's my life right there. But
and you're welcome to it.
That segment on reverse mortgage, of course, we were really kind of narrow casting, I guess you could say, to the seniors out there. And as long as I have your attention, seniors, I must say, because it's one of the things I live by, if somebody ever tells you to act your age, ignore them. You don't need that kind of negativity in your life. Now, if the rest of your body thought that way, we'd be all set, you know. 884-9910. So we got so wrapped up in that talk there that I'm out of time. But when we come back, here are the topics today that the post will finish it here on Reddit about what are the cons of Reno. A physician wants to live here, and people are giving him some mostly very bad advice. And there is a similar post in the Carson City Reddit. Here we go, Eagle Valley. My wife and I are exploring Carson City as a place to move from Orange County to buy a house and start a family. So they want to know if Carson City is a place to live. Go through the comments on that, and maybe you can put in your two cents. And along with that, I ask, why did you personally move to Northern Nevada? Also going to get into the presidential race because, you know what, we have very few local radio call-in shows in this town, and we sure hear a lot of what people around the country think. So I love the opportunity to ask for exclusively Northern Nevada residents what they think about national news stories. along with being local here. Also, we're going to talk about, have you folks heard of this proposal, which came up in Georgia, Florida, and New York? I'm surprised I don't see California on this list, to release the oldest prisoners from jail. What do you folks think about that? We're going to hit on that topic. What else do I have here? The Palestinian protests in colleges and also even in public hearings discussing the protests at U.S. colleges. We'll get into that, too. Amazing stuff here. And everything local. So we're going to break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. Get in line, and we'll talk to you after the break on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 1029.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk and 99.1fmtalk.com.
So, no rain in the forecast at all. You know, on rainy days, my wife thinks it's pathetic when I stare through the window, and it would be less pathetic if she would just let me in, Craig. Nothing. Nothing from you. It's 8-8. Don't bury your head in your arm like that. It's very upsetting. I'm John Potter, live and local, broadcasting from Carson City at 9 o'clock. We were running through the complaints that people on Reno Reddit had about Reno. Some of them were just downright ridiculous. And what really irks me is this was a post from a out-of-town physician who was thinking of moving to Reno. And here we have these locals dissuading him. Folks, come on. We need physicians and doctors. And going through the complaints that people have about Reno, they are issues that every city has. And the problems we have need residents. To help fix them. So let's get behind a common good, improving this town that you criticize. Tell a doctor that you know in another state, hey, we need physicians. There's no state income tax, and Nevada is one of the higher paying states with regard to healthcare workers. It's true. One person wrote on Reddit, reading that you're a physician, I'll add that you may be disappointed with the intellectual vibe compared to bigger cities. Oh, you snob. I absolutely love Reno. I don't plan on ever moving. It's beautiful here. It's rich in history. You can drive anywhere in town in about 20 minutes. There's an airport that you can get to the coast and the mountains in the same day. Even without the trees, the desert views are stunningly beautiful. UNR is a beautiful campus. It offers a lot of potential for Reno. Eastern Nevada, if you want to spread out, Eastern Nevada is really beautiful. And camping out there, it's not overbooked like in California. I can tell you that bicycling in Reno is good. I do it every day. You know what? We're pretty much a purple city. You know what that is? That means there's red Republican and blue Democrat, and we're kind of mixed in that, 50-50. We're pretty much a purple city, so you won't be ostracized for your political leanings, ideals, and values. We have our gorgeous Truckee River. We have the proximity to a real gem being Lake Tahoe. We have four beautiful seasons. We have entertainment 24/7, almost. Reno and Sparks Police are not defunded, and the Second Amendment here is respected. We live in an outdoor wonderland. Put down your screens and teach your kids to bike, ski, hike, camp, fish, wakeboard, off-road, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tons of multi-season outdoor opportunities here. And to the west, you have the forests and the lakes of the Sierra. Small towns to visit throughout. To the east, that high desert with all its beauty and wildlife. So many adventures to be had. And if you tend toward a more simple life and you don't mind possibly having to travel for variety, I think this area is quirky and great. And I always say, if you move here and still vote for the same party and same policies that made you leave in the first place, then you might have to move again because the city will become crap too, just like the cities y'all came from. One of our biggest problems, too many Californians wanting it to be like California. Learn to love where you are. Okay, we did Reno. Up next, Carson City. Yes, somebody asking online about moving to our capital city. A post in the Carson City Reddit. Here we go, Eagle Valley. My wife and I are exploring Carson City as a place to move from Orange County to buy a house and start a family. We are both slightly right-leaning. Yay! We got married in Tahoe and think it would be awesome to be so close, as we like being active, but think living in Tahoe would be too much with all the snow and the cost of living. What are the best areas in town to look for in Carson? What are the pros and the cons? Answers? Small town traffic isn't bad. Lots of sunny days, all four seasons. Usually not much snow in the valley. Pretty areas to walk around the capital downtown area. Some cons: not a lot of events and things to do in Carson itself. And it can be hard to make friends unless you actively join groups or a church. Housing is expensive. Another response: if you want to live with conservatives, buy in Douglas County, Minden, Gardnerville area. Is that where we are now, where people are only selecting areas where the residents have their politics? That was never a thing in the 70s and 80s. Here's another. Pros in Carson: cute downtown with lots of restaurants and a few decent bars. Quiet, easy living with a few fun citywide activities every year. Lots of outdoor activities that don't include the lakes, such as Kings Canyon, Davis Creek, and Topaz. The cons? We're close to Tahoe, but not as accessible as you would think with the insane amount of traffic and people. Mostly elderly demographic, resulting in almost zero nightlife other than just one late night bar in Carson. Pretty much everything is closed by 11 p.m., including fast food and pizza joints. The drivers here will make you want to send your soul off a bridge. It's not that bad. Oh, people exaggerate online, don't they? Next, let's see here. The short version is we love it here. It's a quaint town with enough services that I don't feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. And proximity to a larger city less than half hour away. Crime is low and traffic is non-existent by California standards. Probably the oddest thing is how negative longtime residents are about the town. It's a jewel. Imperfect, but all towns are imperfect. And it's like they don't know what they got. Yes, you're so right. But that's answered in this one. Let me read this one. Carson has many great things, but the longtime residents have very valid reasons for thinking negatively about the town and what it's becoming. I hope you take the time to improve the town for those who grow up here and not just for those who want to make it the next trendy spot and pricing everybody out and moving away when there's nothing left to enjoy. All right, next. Carson City is a jewel, but California money coming in is pricing out those locals in the housing market. Now all the small mom-and-pop businesses are now being priced out of their leases left and right, but hey, we're getting some new chain restaurants. Being sarcastic, there he is. Next, I would recommend Reno. The further you get from Las Vegas or Reno, the more the nuclear radiation begins to show. Oh, my God. Reddit can be terrible. Here's another. Carson really changed when they finished the freeway. And because there were fewer cars going through downtown when the freeway was done, Carson Street was reduced from four lanes to two to make it more walkable, which I think is an improvement. And it reduced the commute time from Douglas County to Reno by 15 to 30 minutes. The southern part of Carson City has become a big strip mall. The number of homes increased slightly, but did not make them more affordable. Lyon County has grown in population more than Carson City and Douglas County combined. You know, there is some good, some people took time to really think about where they live or where they're moving to, and I appreciate that. I appreciate all opinions. Very good. Some of them are just downright cruel, but we have thick skins here, don't we, folks? Yes. Hey, this area is beautiful. It's our secret. Let's not talk about it anymore. We're going to take a break. Phone number 884-9910. Next up, let me see. Did you see the debates? I asked this. I know it's days late, but like I said, this is Reno and Carson City's and Tahoe's and Yarrington's chance to speak because we have so many national talk shows on all the radio stations. This is locals talking about national issues. So let's get to the presidential race. If we don't get calls on Carson or Reno, the proposal also to let seniors out of jail. Yes, it's a legit proposal that somebody has made. And if they're talking about it in California, we just might see it here like we have so many times before. To go take a break right now, phone number 884-9910. I'm John Potter at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 1045.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hey. John Potter live and local every Saturday morning between 9 and noon. Glad you joined us, and I'd be grateful for your call at 884-9910. Have you folks heard of this proposal, which came up in, let me see here, Georgia, Florida, and New York? Surprised I don't see California on the list. To release their oldest prisoners from jail just because they're old. What do you folks think about this? In Atlanta, a spokesman for the American Friends Service Committee says, quote, "We're talking about grandmothers, senior citizens." The director of the Nolan Center for Justice says, quote, "The rationale for incarcerating elderly prisoners after they have aged out of crime appears to be endless punishment and retribution, which does nothing to further public safety, and it's a drain on already scarce resources in our justice system." And there's a lobbyist campaign from a group that is called RAP, Release Aging People in Prison, that says releasing aging people from prison promotes racial justice. And now newspapers are writing stories like this one. This is from New York. It's headlined, "Dying Behind Bars, Another Form of Capital Punishment." In New York, there are two bills to do this in their legislature. There's the, let's see what it's called, the Elder Parole Bill and the Fair and Timely Parole Act for prisoners over 55. See, I thought this would be like old timers over 70. No, they want to start at prisoners who are older than 55. Less than 2 weeks ago in Albany, New York, a public outdoors protest for this was held. Coming to California, I bet. Usually the previous stop to coming to Nevada. So what do you think of this? Release the old timers from prison. Seniors make up about 20% of the average prison population. And sure, we got crowded jails. States like Florida have a crowded prison crisis going on right now. The push in New York is to release prisoners who are 55 and older. Supporters actually said, when you're 55, you're no danger to anyone. I have to say that I am 69 years old. And when I was in my early 60s, I could still do a lot of damage. And I did. So it's nothing to laugh at, believe me. But I am actually more of a you do the crime, you got to do your time guy. It's not much simpler than that. I mean, you owe society a debt. You pay your debt. If these seniors let out early bills pass, some of our worst criminals may get a long prison term, but much of it wouldn't be served. Prison is not a retirement system where you do 30 years and you get to retire from jail. No, you owe a debt. You've been convicted of a crime. Why do we keep changing the laws and tweaking what's right and what's wrong? A little bit here and some more there. Every time we turn around, it's like we're just lightening up on criminals and we want to take care of lawbreakers. There are probably thousands of crime victims in our county every year. The average overall crime rate for Washoe County is about 2,000 per 100,000 residents. Your chances of being a victim of any type of crime in Washoe County is about 1 in 70. And now we're focused on helping the criminals out. I'm sorry if I sound heartless, but it just doesn't make much sense to me. When you get out after serving your term, you paid your debt to society, and you have a good life. I don't mind that one bit. I'd love to help you with that, but changing laws to help criminals, I've known too many of their victims to go along with that. 884-9910. Speaking of local crimes, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Sparks Police busted up a retail crime theft ring of 11 adults and 15 minors who were hitting the Vista Boulevard Safeway store. That one store lost $100,000 worth of alcohol alone to shoplifting in the last 6 months. $100,000 at one Safeway store. That is huge. I know somebody at one of our major pharmacies in town who told me that they have 6 to 8 shoplifting incidents a day. The amount of money walking out the door, that's a financial hemorrhage for them and so many others. And anyone who thinks that a store is some giant financial entity that's got deep pockets and can stay like this forever is wrong. Or maybe they can, since the response now is to have the honest customers pay for everything and make it good. More money out of our pocket and more products kept under lock and key. Make it harder and more unaffordable for the honest folks. That's a bit like our gun control policies, right? Anyway, the point is no one at the store level and even some police departments do anything about it. And the worst lesson a young person can learn is that there are no repercussions to bad behavior. And then there goes personal responsibility right out the window. So back to what I said before, if you do the crime, you should have to do the time. And as a culture, we need to re-embrace that concept of thou shall not steal. And that if you're going to prey upon the economy of our community, you need to get a, you know, behind that somehow. Listen, that $100,000 in liquor stolen at the one Safeway, that's also a big loss in our state tax revenue for Nevada. Our counties and cities lose a lot to retail theft that way. They don't get their 8 1/3% sales tax revenue. Money to school districts, fire departments, etc., that's lost. And along with re-embracing thou shall not steal, I think we ought to re-empower security. And we ought to have very large people standing at exits of stores. And if you're walking out without paying, those very large people should be allowed to lay hands on you. The notion of protecting your property in a store, we ought to be able to do that. And if you're pushing that cart of stolen goods out the door of my store, I should be able to intervene and stop you. And if I have to use physical force to stop you, that ought to be allowed, because crime like that should not be tolerated. I know somebody who works at one of the big stores in Meadowood, and he says the manager and all the other employees, including the loss prevention employee who is there for the actual purpose of protecting the store's assets, he's not even allowed to touch or otherwise physically get in the way of a thief. He can watch them. He can verbally say, hey, stop. He can take pictures, but he's not allowed to touch him. So there's actually no form of security in that store. And I imagine many others. And the argument of, oh, you'll get a lawsuit, they'll be sued, whatever. We should change our civil liability laws. We actually weakened them when Sisolak signed the law that said he had to steal $1,200 to commit a felony. I think it used to be like $650. Yeah, I know I meandered from seniors in jail to shoplifting, but that's kind of what I do on a Saturday morning. Craig is used to that, aren't you? I'm all over the place. We have calls coming in, but we got a break for Fox News. Unless, Craig, you think we can take this real? Okay, let's take it. Joe, calling from Tahoe. Hey, Joe, I appreciate your call.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I want to make it real quick. I know you're going to break. You know, the deterrents nowadays are kind of ludicrous. So you can go in and beat somebody to death with a hammer, okay, and kill them. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're going to do maybe, what, 15 years, 10, 20 years in jail? The guy that was that did the Proud Boys got sentenced 26 years in jail. And, oh, cut off.
Well, I get what you're saying. If you want to call back after the news, Joe, more than welcome to hear the rest of it. I do appreciate the call. Hello. I really do. And we'll get you in line here. We're going to break for Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Hello, friend.